In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. This rich young man, who other apostles call a young ruler, comes to Christ and he asks how he might inherit eternal life. The word inherit is a very significant word. Who inherits? Those who are the children of those who have what it is that they inherit. It's unusual that this man should come and ask in this way. Most likely and obviously by the end of his encounter with Christ, we find that he is not completely understanding of all that he is asking. But he knows that eternal life is not something that he simply already has. That's for sure. He does rely on his wealth, it's true. Because he says, as St. Nikolai Velimirovic points out, he is looking for what he might do in order to inherit eternal life. He is thinking in terms of his possessions and his wealth. He's used to being able to convert wealth into those things that he desires. But in this case, he desires something of great spiritual value. And he's willing to put his wealth at the disposal of gaining that. What must he do? What good thing must I do? As it's said by other evangelists, what good thing must I do in order to have eternal life? He's used to doing good things with his resources, which is not a small thing, not a thing to be disdained. But here he is asking something that is beyond his understanding. And yet he is asking the right thing. It is possible for us to inherit eternal life. Jesus Christ taught the apostles to pray, when you pray, pray our Father. If the Father of the Son of God incarnate is our Father, and we are included with the Son of God in being able to call God our Father, then we can inherit eternal life. But the young man doesn't know of these things. Still, he has come to Christ. He is the one he chooses to ask this unusual question. And so, Jesus responds to him in a way that contains the possibility that the young man could have recognized him as who he is. Why do you call me good? Only God is good. Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, is good. He is the incarnate Son of God. He is the means to our inheriting eternal life. And so it's a kind of challenge that maybe in his encounter with this young man, the young man can be raised up to be able to follow the desire that he has expressed. But then he responds in a way that can be understood by the young man. If you would begin, follow all of the commandments. And he cites what are called the negative commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. First you do the negative commandments. You don't bring evil to yourself, you don't participate in evil, you don't reject God, and you don't make yourself unacceptable to God by breaking his commandments. That's the beginning. But what the man is asking goes beyond just that beginning. It is possible to interpret, to understand what he is saying, as Jesus does, as a request as to how to be like God. In order to inherit eternal life, you must be like God. You must be Christ-like. And here, this man is in the very presence of the incarnate Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. There is a difference between just not rejecting God or making oneself unacceptable to God by breaking the commandments and following the calling of Christ to us as human beings. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. There is a great difference between obeying the commandments on the one hand and sharing the perfection of God on the other hand. To do that, we have to enter into this life that Christ God has come to share with us. Because of the fact that the Son of God has become incarnate, there is a human divine center that we can move toward. Our humanity, because of the incarnation of the Son of God as one of us, has become a path toward likeness to God. A path where we are divinized, not separately from God, but divinized by becoming like Him, by becoming witnesses, making our lives witnesses to the presence of God in the world, so that we're a lot more than just at the vestibule, at the entrance to the kingdom of God. We are going deeper into the kingdom of God, becoming more and more like Him. We are following Him, which is what Jesus challenges the young man to do. If this is truly what you want, and you have kept the commandments, you have done the beginning, now take the next step if this is what you truly desire, to be able to inherit eternal life. Distribute your goods to the poor, sell all that you have, and follow me. Follow me. The young man is not able to do that, at least not at this point. And so he is not proved worthy of the question that he had asked in the beginning. Bishop Nicolai explains to us that not all in the kingdom of God are equal. There are some of lesser and others of greater glory. Those who are at the entrance, as we are to the best of our knowledge, those whose spiritual life is a matter of struggling not to infringe against the commandments of God, not to reject God and turn toward the world and turn our back toward God, imitating what happened in the garden, but instead turning toward God, following His commandments, following His statutes. That places us at the entrance into the kingdom of heaven. We are included within the kingdom of heaven. We have salvation from the opposite. We have salvation from being in the darkness of having rejected God or acted against Him. For a Christian, following those commandments accomplishes at least that. But God did not come into the world just to accomplish that. He came into the world in order to give us life and to give it abundantly. And so He says, "Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." It's a movement, it's a process. We are created beings. We will never be as God is, but we are created to be like Him. And so our lives are a spiritual process of movement. Those of greater glory in the kingdom of God are the righteous that go beyond simply obeying the commandments, but begin to do good as Christ does good in the world, who begin to sacrifice themselves on behalf of their love of God and others, the righteous, and they have greater glory. And beyond them are the saints, the Theotokos, the apostles, and all of the saints have gone beyond simple righteousness. They have become like Christ in that they reveal the presence of God in the world. They fulfill the possibility, the promise that Christ came into the world to give to us. He made our humanity a way of revealing the presence of God in the world. He revealed the presence of God, the reality of God, all that we can know of God as human beings. And He made it possible by uniting Himself to our humanity that our humanity would be a path of being like Him. We can go beyond righteousness and be lights in the world, present the light of Christ in the world. The saints are truly like Christ because they present His holiness through our humanity. They and the righteous are able to inherit eternal life. And those at the vestibule who have at least begun We receive from those beyond us, those above us. It's a dynamic movement toward the center where Christ is in our divinized humanity, so that our humanity can be raised up and we can inherit eternal life as those who are more and more Christ-like. We are told by Christ, and Bishop Nicolai emphasizes, that the apostles will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. The saints will judge all of humanity. But how will they judge? Their judgment will be like Christ's own judgment. How does Christ judge? He doesn't judge in a human way according to human justice. He doesn't count this good deed and that bad deed and count them up and divide and say, well, this is the remainder and so you belong here. When we come into his presence, we are judged on the basis of the reality of whatever we have made of ourselves in relationship to him. He is the gold standard of our humanity. Next to him, what our sins and our repentance have made of us is obvious. That is how the presence of the saints judge us as well, because they have witnessed to what it is possible for a human being to rise to. Not as isolated individuals. We who think in terms of the world, it's very difficult for us to get beyond that thinking in terms of my individual life, my individual humanity. The holiness of the saints is not like that. They are holy because of their relationship to God, because of their humility in relationship to themselves, because of their having emptied themselves of self-love. That is the standard, and the standard is the reality of Christ himself. This path that Christ calls the young man to follow, when he says, follow me, is the same path that all of us are called upon to follow. It means that we will never run out of greater and greater meaning in our lives unless we turn away from this path, back toward the world. Then we can fall into despair. Then we can fall into a state of mind where things seem meaningless to us and pointless. But there is always repentance. There is always the return that we can make toward the ascent toward greater and greater meaning in our lives, filling all of the things that we do on a daily basis with this meaning of an ultimate life that is without end. Our lives become lives of greater and greater abundance. This is the path that Jesus Christ calls us to follow him on. This is how we inherit eternal life and have the richness of eternal life already today for us to live in the world, rather than by stooping down like the bent Pharisee had to, that we talked about last week, trying to live by way of the things of the world. And so, where the young man turned aside because he was not yet understanding, it may be that in our own lives we spend a lot of our days turned aside from this ultimate meaning of the Christian faith that God has made available to us. We may think in terms of just not breaking the commandments, being a basically decent good person, but still living in a hope that the world will fulfill us. When we reach the point that we finally know that that is not the case, and we repent of that lower way of life, reorient ourselves toward God, and determine ourselves to follow him, then all of the blessings of the treasures of heaven begin to come to us, and our lives are filled with limitless and eternal and unending meaning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.